Hey, church family, happy Graduate Recognition Sunday. To all of our graduates, we want you to know we are so proud of how the Lord has blessed you academically. Listen, the best is still yet to come for you. I hear the words of Isaiah, "Behold, I will do a new thing." And this season for you is a season of newness, and we say congratulations from our entire church family. I certainly would be remiss if I did not pause to thank our senior pastor, Dr. Turner, for this opportunity to share today. Listen, let's go straight to the Word of God. I want to go to Joshua chapter 1, just two short verses, verses 6 and 7. Let's read together. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It's my favorite version of the scripture these days. So let's look at Joshua 1, verses 6 and 7. It reads this way: "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the truth of your word, that no word that you've spoken will fall to the ground, but every word that you speak are words of truth and life. Our simple prayer request is that you would speak, Lord, and we're listening for the truth of your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Church family, I just want to talk for a brief time today from the subject, having good success. Would you help me encourage our graduates today? Put that in the comment section, having good success. That's what we want to talk about today on this Graduate Recognition Sunday. To graduate means that a diploma or a degree is conferred on you. And as we celebrate over 40 graduates today who have worked hard, they've studied, they've passed difficult tests, they've endured difficult teachers and professors, and once you complete tests and papers and assignments, you've achieved success because you have reached and accomplished your goal, the goal you set out to do. But graduation, while it is an end, it is not the end. It's an end to one process, but it's the beginning to another process. Graduation is a sign that the investment that every student has made has paid off as they've accomplished their goal. And life works just like education. You finish one test and you prepare for another test. You finish one grade in school and you go to the next grade to gain new knowledge and new experiences. You matriculate through life just like you matriculate through school. And that's what we find taking place in this first chapter of Joshua. Just before the book of Joshua begins, we learn in the last chapter of Deuteronomy that Moses died at the age of 120 years old. And when Moses died, his assistant Joshua began leading the people of Israel. Joshua's ministry is simply about serving God's people as the leader to get them where God has planned for them to be. And in these verses, we find God giving Joshua new instructions for his new assignment. That's what happens. And look in verse number 6. God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." He says, "Be both strong and courageous." And he repeats this instruction to him multiple times in different verses, which suggests to me that there is an important distinction between being strong and being courageous. He says to be strong. To be strong simply means to have power. But to be courageous means to be brave. God knew that the Israelites would need to fight the battles that were ahead of them. And just like Joshua, we have to understand that God is calling us to be both strong and courageous. God is calling us to both be full of his power and to be brave enough to fight the battles that confront us. And for Joshua, God gave him the end result in his instructions from the beginning. God tells Joshua that he would, what would take place if he was strong and courageous, because verse 6 goes on to say that you shall cause this people to inherit the land. That leads us to our first point in this message. Point number one is to be an instrument. Help me preach this sermon to the graduates. Put it in the comment section. Say, be an instrument. That's what God tells Joshua. Joshua was an instrument for the people to inherit the land. God used Joshua's leadership to get the people to the inheritance that God had promised them. Remember, these are the same people that God used Moses to lead from Egyptian oppression. These are the same people who wandered through the wilderness for decades, and generations later, God is using Joshua to give them the land that he had always promised them. And this is just like God wants to use Joshua in this text as an instrument. I have to tell you today that God wants to use you. I know you thought you could enjoy your life and your faith on the sidelines, but God wants to use you. I know you thought that you could peripherally participate in what God is doing in the world, but I have to tell you today that God wants to use you. God wants to use you to help somebody else. God wants to use you to be a blessing to somebody. God wants to use you to meet somebody's needs. And I'll tell you today, graduates and worshipers, that if the only person who benefits from your purpose is you, then your purpose is not from God. And I know it's Graduate Recognition Sunday and we're celebrating graduating students and current college students, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that real purpose is about being an instrument for God to bless somebody else. But there are different kinds of, say, musical instruments. There are string instruments. There are wind instruments. There are keyboard instruments. There are percussion instruments. And different instruments are used different ways. I feel inclined of God now to speak to the spirit of comparison that would cause us to be so concerned about how God uses other people that we fail to learn how to appreciate how God wants to use you. But when God uses you, he wants to do it in a specific way with specific parameters. And that's why we find in verse 7, God repeats to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Then he gives him instructions for the journey. He says, I want to use you to be an instrument for their inheritance. An inheritance is different than an earning. You earn by working. You earn by sowing. But God says the kind of blessing that he was going to get to the children of Israel was not going to be an earned blessing. But the kind of blessing he was going to get to the children of Israel, the text calls it an inheritance. It is literally a giving of God, that they would simply be the recipients to what God wants to give. I know you've been working hard. You've been struggling and straining, trying to keep your life afloat. But I'm telling you now, God has some blessings in store for you that you're not going to have to earn. You're not going to have to fight for them. You're not going to have to be low down and a backbiter to get these blessings. But God's going to give it to you as an inheritance because you're a child of God, because you're a son and daughter of God. Some blessings you're getting ready to inherit it. Somebody put that in the comment section. Say inheritance, that God has an inheritance with your name on it. The text simply says that God wants to use Joshua as an instrument for their inheritance. So the first point of this message, I want to encourage you, be an instrument. Let God use you to be a blessing to somebody else. But then the verse goes on, the verse continues, and God says to Joshua in this same verse, verse number 6, he says, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, has commanded you. The first point is to be an instrument, but the second and final point of this message is to follow instructions. Help me push the message in the comment section. Somebody say, follow instructions. The keys to Joshua's success were spiritual. I know you thought your keys to unlock the life that you know God has for you, you thought the keys would be social. You thought they would be practical. You thought the key to your success was simply obtaining this education. But Joshua's keys to success are spiritual. They were directly related to his degree of obedience to God. Joshua and the Israelites were preparing to fight physical battles, but instead of giving them military strategy or any military advice, God gives Joshua spiritual instructions. This really suggests that success is less about our strategies and our smartness, and it is more about our surrender and our submission. That God is not impressed with what we have, but God is impressed by our obedience. One way that we follow God's instructions is to obey, here it is, the written word. We got to obey the written word of God. I know it's old school for a lot of people. I know it's out of style in the culture. I know there are a lot of other means that people are being fed spiritually. Some of us, unfortunately, our entire spiritual appetite is satiated and satisfied by one sentence memes on Instagram. But can I tell you, students, that if you're ever going to obtain the spiritual strategy of God, you can only find it in the scripture. It's in the Bible. And in the scriptures of the Bible, they empower us to live according to God's word, and they teach us God's way. If you really want to be successful graduates, if you really want to be successful worshipers, you have to understand what really matters in life. One thing that really matters in life is having a strong relationship with the word of God. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Can I tell you why? The psalmist specifically denotes that the word of God is hidden in his heart. It's because you can hide stuff in your hand. Your career can be hidden in your hand. Your money and your possessions and even relationships can be hidden in your hand. But you can lose what's in your hand at any time. But nobody can take from you what is hidden in your heart. I encourage you, find scripture. Find the word of God. Don't just read it as a religious routine or ritual, but hide his word in your heart. Because if it's hidden in your hand, the world can pluck it out of your hand. But if it's hidden in your heart, nobody can take from you what you hide in your heart. And that's how we come to obey and follow the instruction of God. We got to learn, like the psalmist, to hide it in our heart, because real success comes when we follow God's instructions that we find in God's word. And for Joshua, God says in verse number 7, he gives him an instruction about how to handle the law, how to handle the law of Moses, which for him was the word of God. And he says in verse number 7, do not turn from it. He says, don't look to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Just the other day, I was talking to another pastor friend, and he began to tell me how he and his wife had just returned from a vacation in Mexico. I've been to Mexico a few times even prior to the pandemic, and I know Mexico is a fun place to be. And I asked him, I said, hey bro, tell me about the good time that you and your wife had in Mexico. And then he told me about a near-death accident that happened while he and his wife were riding ATVs in Mexico. He said his wife was so busy admiring the picturesque views from the top of the mountain that she literally almost drove her ATV off the cliff of the mountain. There was nothing wrong with the path she was riding on. There was nothing wrong with the ATV that she was driving, but she almost had a fatal accident because because she was so busy enjoying the view and giving her attention to the left and to the right that she didn't give enough attention to the path that she was designed to be on. And just like her, if we are not careful not to fall to the same temptations of enjoying the views of life, enjoying the social connections that you're gaining on the journey, enjoying the financial benefits of the journey of life, if we're not so busy enjoying cars and clothes and status and connections, we, like her, can fall to a demise because we do what God told Joshua not to do. God says, I'm giving you an instruction. Don't look to the left or to the right. He says, and if you obey my instruction, if you are specific and faithful to obey what I tell you to do, God says to Joshua that I'm going to give you good success wherever you go. I got to ask the question in closing, church. What is good success? I want to let you know that the term success is different in this scripture than it is in our culture. Now, if you just want cars and cash and status and substance, then that's the only kind of success that popular culture can give you. But good success in this scripture literally means to be prudent or to be wise. It's a word that actually has to do with being reasonable and being careful. And it's saying that obeying God, hear me, college graduates and high school graduates and college students and our St. John family, hear me, this word simply means that obeying God makes you a reasonable, wise person. My assignment from God today is to tell you that there is no success like the kind that comes with peace in your mind and in your soul. There is no success like the kind that comes being able to go home and actually go to sleep at night. There is no success like being able to enjoy the blessings you have without feeling guilty for the means that you got the blessings. There is no success like the kind that comes from knowing that everything you gained is because you trusted God's plan and you sowed seeds and God gave you a harvest. Have you ever searched for something online? You may have been looking for a new vacuum cleaner or a specific kind of shirt, and you may not have bought what you were searching for, but when you go to another website, there are advertisements for the very thing you were searching for. Or better yet, strangely, have you ever been having a conversation about something with somebody, and you go to your social media apps on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, and it seemed like the very thing you were just talking about is now being advertised to you on social media? That is a result of what is called marketing algorithms. If the marketing algorithms that are computerly operated and automated can get you what you need when you desire it, how much more can the God of the universe, who created the sun and the moon and the worlds and the waters, how much more can God get you what you're looking for if you obey God's way, if you walk in the way of God? And before we go, I have to invite you to make the best choice you can make, and that's the choice to obey God. That's the choice to follow God's instructions. That's the choice to be an instrument for God, because just like Joshua, I encourage you, be an instrument for God to use. And I close this sermon with the scripture for you to keep in mind, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, because I know nobody ever goes to school just to simply follow the pattern, but we want to make an impact. You want to earn an income. You want to be able to take care of yourself and your future families. But I encourage you with the words of the Gospel of Matthew that simply say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You will have good success when you go where the Lord leads you. But I pray for you that you'll be able to be an instrument and that you will follow God's instructions. Let's pray together. God in heaven, thank you for the truth of your word, that if we are an instrument for you, and if we follow your instructions, you alone will bring us good success. Praise you and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, I want to encourage you now. I want to give you a special invitation. I want to help you to partner with God's way for real success. I want to extend an invitation to you to, one, come into relationship with God and with his son, Jesus Christ. Whether you're a student, a graduate, whether you're just here worshiping, I'm telling you, God wants a relationship with you. God wants to get you the salvation that he obtained on the cross through his son, Jesus Christ. God wants to forgive all of your sins. He wants to take away the sense of guilt and shame that you have and to give you joy in the place of your shame. And I want you to know that God does that through the process of salvation. That scripture says, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and you believe he's raised from the dead in your heart, that you shall be saved. I want you to know God wants to save you today. And one sign of baptism is that we become baptized. Literally, we go down in the water as a sign that God is changing our old person, and we come back up as a sign that we are new in Christ. I want to invite you to be saved. I want to invite you even to be baptized here at St. John. We will begin baptisms next week. If you want to be baptized, if you want to join our church, if you want to be saved today, click the link in the comment section right now and express your desire, and we want to connect with you. We want to get you baptized next week. We want to connect our faith with yours. We want to invite you to join our family, and we want to invite you to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Church family, would you help me in the comment section? Somebody's accepting Jesus. Somebody's deciding to be baptized, and somebody is joining our church. Would you just tell them in the comment section, welcome to the family. You know how we do on virtual worship. Tell them, welcome to the family of God. I'm excited that from this day forward, you will come to have good success. Amen.